apologize that you were waiting. I'll give you a quick introduction. We've got to find out where you are in here. LMN, New Engineers of Graffiti. Evan. Welcome to the later session, and thanks for staying up with us tonight. I hope everyone's having a great time at the conference. Thank you very much. It's been a really good one. I don't know if anyone noticed this afternoon, but we're getting all these phone calls. Conference organizing committee, Kevin Mitnick not making it. You didn't hear already? He's sick. We announced it in the other presentation. Sounds like it's not like life threatening or anything, but he wasn't able to make it. And Steve Rambam. If you didn't hear about Mitnick, you might not have heard about Rambam. Did you hear about Rambam? We know nothing more. Sorry?
It's on
point already. Oh. You're saying I don't need to tell you. You need to know. Okay, there's one person who needs to know. It's really a short story, and we have no further information. So Steve Rambam, some of you have seen speak here before. He's this guy that runs a private investigator agency, and he's a very dynamic speaker, and his basic message is that there's incredible quantities of data about you which are available to people who are not of the government, just business people for the most part, or anyone that wants to pay for it. Great speaker. So he did a whole seminar today down on the sixth floor with a number of attendees on stuff that private investigators want to know about these databases and internet and stuff like that. The seminar ended at, and this isn't a secret, we mentioned this earlier, seminar ended at about 4 p.m. and then at 5 p.m. We had a panel scheduled for the next room, for room A. Right around 4 p.m., I understand it was four gentlemen showed up wearing jackets that said FBI on the back, and asked him a few questions about if he had weapons and checking his identity, and cuffed him and took him away. And that's all we know.
I saw it all.
Yeah. Oh, you did not.
I totally did.
Did you really? Did I get the story reasonably well?
I was walking into our room, and I was like, FBI.
Did I get the story reasonably well, though?
There were like eight of them.
Oh, really? Okay, so she says there were eight.
How many horns did each one have?
No, half of them had FBI shirts, and the other ones just had jackets.
That's very interesting.
So
you saw them coming in.
I saw them twice.
You saw them coming in.
I saw them running to him. And
fascinating. So we don't know anything. The seminar that he did was very innocuous. We doubt it was something from the seminar. And so anything else is speculation. But those are the facts. And so it's been an interesting day for your conference organizers. And we're really happy to have everyone here. That was more of an introduction, but I got to tell the story that not everyone had heard. We have, as I said, one of the last sessions. They're going to go for about an hour. I believe we have a movie in here, a particular movie in here, after this session. Then we'll be running general movies after that for the rest of the evening till the overnight. We start again with sessions in this room at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So basically stay up is the message there. This is the New Engineers of Graffiti. We have James, Evan, and Evan.
Thanks a lot for staying up with us. Yes, so this is the Graffiti Research Lab presentation. My name's Evan. This is James. This is Evan. Since there's not a ton of us here, maybe we can keep it like informal. So anyone has any comments or questions, like don't wait till the end. Just go ahead and spit it out.
Is this about real graffiti?
Is this about real graffiti? Wow, good question. Why don't we wait? That one maybe wait till the end to make judgments on, and then and then we can field it. So I recently graduated a year ago with an MFA doing sort of new media art stuff, and James came from more of an engineering background, and we met together at iBeam, which is an art and technology nonprofit in Chelsea, where we're both fellows. We're going to talk a little bit more about that at the end. But the Graffiti Research Lab came out of us being at iBeam, and Evan is also at iBeam, so this is a very iBeam-centric presentation. Just to give a quick background on what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about sort of this idea of geek graffiti and the sort of overlap between technology and graffiti. And more so than being like very like high-tech, or more so than being very marker-centric, our sort of interest in where technology and graffiti overlap is being that this sort of exploiting urban systems to get your own message across, right? So finding some systems, sneaking into them, and saying your own message in there. Sort of a concept like I think everyone here is familiar with.
And before you guys go on, we might want to just say when we talk about, you know, geekdom, you guys know what that means. When we talk about graffiti, we just mean any kind of illegal act done in the streets for communicative purposes. So like not like hitting someone with a bottle over the head, but illegal acts done in the street. So, you know, murals that we might have done at I-Beam, we don't think of those as graffiti. Things we might do here at Hope, we don't think of those as graffiti. Okay, so usually when we begin these talks, we sort of try to get people up to speed on what kind of hacks are being done on the internet and in software, and probably that's not really necessary here because you guys know what's being done, and there's a lot of it. People are playing around in software, doing things they couldn't normally do in the world, like this game, The Velvet Strike, which is a mashup of several ideas, one of them being sort of our love of these war games, the other one being our sort of giggliness we get about all these sort of taboos in society, like homosexuality and violence and God and things like that. So this game gives you an opportunity sort of to have these sort of taboos confront you in your sort of virtual world. So it's sort of a hack in a way. Graffiti does the exact same thing. So you guys are familiar with that one process. You'll probably sort of quickly understand what's going on in this next bit. And it involves someone named Banksy, who's sort of the next level of graffiti artists, graffiti practitioners, professional vandals. So you see here in the Velvet Strike game, you've got some action going on here where people are being confronted with sort of homoerotic images in their gameplay, which I'm sure is just disturbing as hell to some. on the other side, you have something that's much more disturbing than homosexual images, which is someone, heaven forbid, putting something that they weren't told to in a museum. And this is in the Brooklyn Museum of Art, so it's only sort of like a museum. But yeah, so this is Banksy, and as you guys may know, he actually stuck a lot of his work into museums all over the world, from the Metropolitan Museum of Art to the MoMA, the Tate Gallery in London, American Museum of Natural History, and here in Brooklyn's Finest. And you'll see in a second sort of what his work looks like. He actually takes images that are, you know, sort of relevant, seem like they fit in place, and then hacks them, same sort of way people exploit the kind of weaknesses in systems computationally. He does this with symbols.
You might not have laptop audio either.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is a Banksy stencil right here, and it sort of illustrates a point that we think is really important to our practice, which is just this idea that, you know, we are kind of the losers, and it'd be great one day, if just for a moment, not to be the losers, if we could all kind of get together, get a bunch of really good equipment, and kind of fuck stuff up. So that's where we kind of started. That was like the platform that we moved forward from. And here's some other examples of Banksy's work. I don't know if you guys have seen. This is the segregation wall, which is probably a hot place these days between Palestine and Israel. And this is a perfect place for, as Banksy says, you know, graffiti tourism. So this is actually one of Banksy's pieces. We'll just let this kind of play on its own. This has a little bit of audio that we might want to turn up. You want to practice the audio part of it here? This will be a test run. We're all plugged in. Maybe we're not plugged in over here. So this is Banksy installing a boot on a statue in London. He's so clever. Okay, so there's a lot of people that work like Banksy, and some of them we're lucky to be able to consider our friends, and one of them is Mark Jenkins. He does these projects that primarily use tape as a medium, so he creates these, we call them clones, where he basically tapes a thing and then cuts that out and has this taped sort of mold that he uses to make these figures. He uses basically just packaging tape and Coke bottles. These shots, yeah. I mean, he's amazing, and it's catching on. People are getting it. You guys have probably seen a lot of these on the internet.
This one just recently came up. It was all over the blogs. And it's just a really compelling way, you know, to sort of reveal how just fucking horrible we are as people. I'll let this kind of proceed. What's this? Come on, honey. Look at that.
Whoop!
God, so good. So Mark Jenkins, this sort of... this shows what his stuff looks like. It's actually very easily made. And like us, he just sort of naturally comes to the concept of, you know, sort of open knowledge. He shares how to do this all on his site. Is it Tape Sculpture?
TapeSculpture.org.
Gosh, he's already on it. Yeah, so this, you know, these, you can make these same things. He, in fact, encourages you to make it. Like a lot of artists, you could probably rather see people innovate on it than just duplicate it. But another person that we really look up to is Darius Jones. Here he has poised two surveillance cameras to look at each other. And actually, a lot of his work tends to make sort of inanimate things sort of fall in love with one another. Okay, so that leads up to, these are the people that we look at and that when we see their work, we feel inspired to make graffiti ourselves. So, the Graffiti Research Lab, you guys have probably seen what our sort of tagline is, but the basic idea is that we just want to be tool makers for graffiti writers. And it turns out that graffiti writers actually want to do something that's somewhat uniform across a lot of different practices, the arts, and protesters. Anyone who wants to use the street in a manner that's sort of less practical and more individualistic as opposed to sort of along the sort of authoritarian line. So we were thinking we would do this presentation chronologically and we would just talk about how we first met each other and how we kind of dug into this work. But the Electrograph was actually the first project that we kind of convened on, and it was because the materials were something that I had used as an engineer. You can see the paint right here. Can you see this little green light on the other side? So this material right here is conductive paint, and it acts, you know, much like a copper conductor on a circuit board. This material right here is actually magnet paint, and underneath these LEDs there's magnets. So you sort of mechanically adhere the magnet to the wall using the magnetism, and then you electrically control it using these conductive traces, which can be stretched for long distances, and, you know, it can be applied much easier than a circuit board. It is on the site, but magnet paint, what's awesome about it is it's a total, like, kid's craft project. You can get it at Michael's, you know, at all these different places. You can also buy it if you go on our site at more industrial suppliers where you kind of make your own. And then the conductive paint, we buy it from some guys at a company called Less EMF, and they're really great because they're really nervous about electromagnetic fields, I guess giving them cancer. Is that what the deal is? Do you guys know? But yeah, so that they sell these products. They're awesome. So this is basically how this sort of technically works. And then here's a quick video that'll illustrate, you know, how awesome we look standing in front of it.
And we put it on wax. It's the new style.
4 and 3 and 2 and 1.
What up?
And when I'm on the mic, the suckers run.
Word.
Time to have rock and mic, see, and you ain't. And I got more juice than Picasso got paint. Got rock, better rock than rhymes, let us slick. I'm not surprised you're on
my team.
Thanks. Yeah, so that's actually... What? Okay, so that's the electrograph, and just anyone for the record, like, we don't consider those things to be graffiti, but we consider them to be, have a lot of potential for graffiti artists to use. It would be somewhat difficult for us to kind of advertise ourselves as, you know, sort of the James Bond's research lab for graffiti artists if we were actually in jail for our graffiti act. So a lot of times we do these things indoors. They're R&D, right? Like, a lot of really good writers would encourage you not to go out and tag up the city until you know how to do it. So we're, you know, we just sort of like to develop these behind scenes until they're worthwhile.
So what's the resistance like on the paint?
It depends. It's like any other conductor. It has to do with like the cross-sectional area of the trays. So the thicker the paint, the better the conductance, the lower the resistance.
But it works well for like 2.7 volts or whatever you're
using. Yeah, it works pretty well. And you know, there's like tens to hundreds of ohms of resistance across that trace, but it doesn't exactly act exactly like a conductor does. And there's a lot of it that's still mysterious to us, and we like to keep it that way, so it's sort of magical. you know. Yeah, there's just some stuff that we're probably just not, you know, advanced enough as engineers to figure out the real specs on. We'd love to work with some people that are, though, so they can, you know, make us look smarter. So yeah, like I was saying before, we tend to not have as many run-ins with the law because a lot of what we do is research and development behind the scenes. And so a lot of the stuff you see will be like that. But we have had some work that we put into the city. And the only reason we feel comfortable talking about it here is that, you know, whatever undercover cops are in the audience really aren't here for us, right? Like, they're for all of you guys. So we'll talk a little bit about this postal circuit board, or our PCBs, which are just a way of using the same material in the electrograph, but hand drawing on these circuits on the postal labels, which are nice because they're a free medium. And we've put these up in the city before, and they look something like this. Interestingly enough, they don't ever stay there for long. We're not sure where they go. We like to think that they go to some collector's house, that he cuts them out, and that he's keeping all these. And he's got a good collection, because every time we put one up, they eventually come down. So if you ever see any of these or know anybody who has one of these, please give us a call. But here's the video that sort of shows what they look like.
Inside the medicine camp. Yes, Tim C's, state your identity.
Cross P. Suz.
SOV, Lady Sovereign.
Shiesty.
Let the battle commence.
Yeah, medicine star. Foster prodigal son. Suz Rock. You know how we do. Yo.
See, I'm a man who only chats realness. Fuck being like most of these kids who chat shit. Suck record company dick. Cross P, I keep it gutter. Still bills I'm paying. Still for meals I'm praying. In the meanwhile, I stay moving weight. The life ain't great, but better than the drown from state. Or begging a mate to take you an eight. Still ghetto with the mind of an eater. Quicker than a cheater, draw 9mm. Grab a man's cape if I get shift, never in vain. Hate life, but I stay in the game. Yeah, the prodigal's insane. Ain't we all the little? Frame your brain, kill the game. Nigga, blow the whistle.
Same issue. I move like a Vietnam troop. Sippy walk through red at my Timberland boots. Man, still ready to shoot. You need proof. Show it anytime. Fuck a label. I never get signed. More time. Niggas wanna leave me behind. Tell me to put my name on the dotted line and find the way I am. Contracts to the street. Come around and you with the last 2 weeks. You're too weak. I still represent H-Town. Don't smile, plus I live a boy face down. Murder my niggas fast like a greyhound. Quit to run in the bank until you lay down. It's down to the man. I got a place in the man. I like a 38. Always come back.
Woo! You guys are a dream. Okay, so after some initial run-ins with sort of seeing all our work disappear from the street, we decided we need to kind of change directions. And this happened actually really organically in that we were playing around with these conductive postal circuit boards and had all this sort of material on our desk. And the magnets were interested to people because they'd never seen these rare earth magnets. They stuck so hard to things. So people started thinking, what can I put up over the city? You know, then we know these metal surfaces, ferrous surfaces all over the city. What can we put up? So throwies could have ended up being magnetize, which was Evan's initial thought about what you do. What was the sort of the tagline for the project?
I think the idea was that like people complain that graffiti makes the city look ugly, so this is going to be like trying to like dress it up a little bit. But I think the other thing we learned from like the postal label circuit one was that like even though it looks sort of like some high tech cool shit to us, like to other people, it looks like other things, maybe. So the graffiti needed to be a lot cuter, right? It needed to be, I don't know, a lot more colorful and pretty. so that people didn't think that they were like bombs and things like that.
So basically, Evan and I, a few other people, we were all talking, what could you put up with magnets? We were kind of running through the list, like kitchen sink style, of everything we could put up. And I think Evan said, we could just put up LEDs. And so I kind of grabbed all that material that was on the table, and it was all, you know, the sort of a little pile of junk there. And I just, what I had, we wrapped together the first throwy and went and threw it up. It looked a little something like this.
I got a bullet in the clip, so what you want? I got a lyric I can spit, so what you want? I'm giving bitches good dick, so what you want? Hey, so what you want? My ghetto pop life hotter than a hot.
So yeah, so that was the first throwy. You guys have probably seen some of the efforts since then. Just in case someone has not seen it, we're going to go ahead and play the original throwy video. just for the record, too, like, you know, we had just seen this Bravia, Sony Bravia commercial, and we thought, wow, this is really beautiful. Too bad it's a fucking commercial. and it's such a shame that, you know, commercials get kind of the best of both worlds. They have their own sort of crap style, plus they can steal from all the innovative styles that are across the rest of our culture and then use it to sell products. We were like, wow, this is one of the first things we ever seen a commercial company make that was really unique and sort of interesting. Why don't we just steal it right back? You know, so I think probably, yeah, at least 50% of the success of this is this Jose Gonzalez song that we just put in the video without crediting him, or, you know, I probably still get 100 emails a day, but so here it goes.
One night to be confused, one night to speed up truth. We had a promise paid for hands and then away. Both under influence, we had divorced to know what to say. Mind is a race away. To call for hands of above, to lead on, would have been. One night of magic rush, the start a simple touch. One night to push and scream, and then breathe. 10 days of perfect tunes, the colors red and blue. We had a promise made, we were in love. To call for hands of above, to lead on.
Things from Evan. One is to always sort of be thinking about the shot, you know, like where the camera is. Look at him walking across the right through the frame. Like coughs in the background. So awesome. Yeah, also for the record, we didn't have permission to do this. You know, we don't like get off on how illegal it is. We don't really even know, right? It's magnets. It's kind of a gray area. It wasn't like something we were thinking about. We just definitely didn't ask these guys if we could do it because they would have totally said no. And then we did go back and take them down later because we're, you know, reusers. We like to be as thrifty as possible. So we did take them all down. We did assemble them. We do recycle our batteries. Moving on. So, yeah. So the big part of that video, the big part of it for us was this video. We thought it was really exciting. We went out. We liked the way it sounded and looked and everything. But the thing that really got the most hits was this website. In fact, Dig, you know, killed it in the first few minutes and then continued to kill it over the next few weeks on it, off and on. People wanted to look at, I assume, these pictures and, you know, maybe actually figure out how to make it. And eventually people started doing that. And we'll talk a little bit later about what sort of happened, the repercussions of putting out our graffiti techniques on the web. In fact, we've talked about LED throwies a lot in conferences and talks and amongst our friends, and we're pretty bored by what we have to say about it. And we don't really have anything all that new or original. I don't think we understood our concept more than people did when they received it on the web. So we thought about this idea of comments being an area where, you know, graffiti and the web have something in common. You know, it's like a raw form where people can speak with a little bit of anonymity about a range of topics and actually have an audience kind of already there, you know, captive waiting. As you can see, graffiti's a lot about commentary. And this is actually a Banksy piece where he's commented on this building. So we wanted to look at some of the comments that people had when they looked at our sort of project that we put on the internet. There were a lot of people that got it, who understood it. And we think those responses are sort of typified by this type of comment, you know? Like, hey, let's go play mailbox baseball. Like, that is the kind of spirit that we're interested in, you know? Like, people that are interested in defying the rules a little bit and not just defying the rules of the conservative side, but defying the rules of sort of the other side, too. Just fucking with good taste. A lot of people sort of read what we had to say, and they got it right away. They understood it. So there are people that then kind of took it to a level beyond what we kind of thought people would receive it to, the, you know, sort of the high level of the project, the idea that these tools could actually be used for something, you know, political and worthwhile and could support agendas and that people get their message out using these tools. Another thing that we found out is that people didn't think that we were like bulletproof. They definitely thought that we looked like a bunch of jerk-offs throwing our LEDs out on the street. And we appreciate that too. I think they mean gay here in the sense that like it's a little bit stupid. So this is a good example of how in the moment of a kind of a graffiti action that people can buy into it without really acknowledging that they buy into it. So you'll get to see some people who seem to kind of also get what they're doing.
Once again, tip, you're on point five. Once again, tip, you're on point five. Once again, tip, watch me bust they shit. Action peoples, can I dominate? My rhymes are harder than last night's erection. Don't blame it close, I have this mic up in your midsection. My shit is love, simply meaning that my joint is tight. Amping up the mic, making sure production's tight. Sometimes I might catch a severe case of writer's block, but by the end of the day, you'll be on my jock. Real name's Malik, my hobby's putting MCs to the test. And if you front, I'll put my foot up in your friggin' chest. Freestyle fanatic, and never will it ever stop. Your crew is his, you might just wanna call the
top. Hey yo, I gotta put some action on paper. Make sure sure my verse jump up and spread out like the raper. The only tip I got for a waiter is watch the doorknob hit me where the dirty dog should've bit me. That was my train of thought, but for so long I fought. Now I'm at a level supreme to the devil. So turn up the bass and lay low on the treble. We be the Willie kids and you dead with the shovel. Revitalize, revitalize, nigga. The ladies sweat the style like the squirrels sweat the nuts. You know what fellas good for the moolah. Don't smoke no woolers, we the men, call me Slick Tip the Ruler. For 25 joints. Sometimes Shaitan got me by the pressure points, but I could break a fella down like sex. You eat wheat checks, but still light in the ass and can't flex. If one nigga front, I'ma make more pay. Cause tonight, we getting off like OJ. And yo, I got a dog that bites, fuck the barking. Yo, I got a crew with the beats and the smarts in.
I float my shit up on Linden in the 192. Forever writing, ever writing, ain't shit else to do. Hoping to battle, but most MCs ain't ready yet.
Like,
but if they utter one word, then this is good as set. You have MCs dropping bombs, that's incredible. Some other brothers, their styles are just despicable. As for me, see, I just do how I love to do. Try to deny me of my props and I'll be seeing you. Most of you suckers wanna be down for the tag along. The friggin' fame, someone tell them that this shit ain't games. You got to do this from your heart, meaning your inner soul. And if it's real, only then will you be on a roll. I try to stay on top of my game, there ain't no time to lose. 4 hours deep as a quester, but still we paying dues. So hear me out one time, you got to be yourself. Cause if you ain't yourself, you end up by your friggin' self. I'm coming rugged with the Linden Bully type of slang. And yo, we'll see who can hang. Yo, you're on point.
So,
is there a specific reason it says free board?
Yeah, some anecdotes about that. That's a sculpture actually in New York City, you guys can see. It's called the Alamo. No one calls it that. It's really called the Cube, kind of colloquially. And it's a hangout. It's kind of a little bit of an autonomous zone where people get to go and kind of hang out. And there's like a lot of the goth kids and the weirdos and whatnot sort of stay underneath that thing. And it's weird. It spins. You know, it's like a public art piece that people kind of identify with. They don't hate it, you know, like so much of what's out there. The reason why we went there is because it's metal and it spins. And we just thought, that's awesome. If we can get a bunch of lights on it, we can spin it around. That'll be a cool shot. It kind of didn't turn out as cool in that capacity as we thought. It was much more interesting from the perspective of the crowd participation, in that we were there for about 30 minutes and we gathered a crowd of well over 100 people in a spot that's like notoriously, undercover cop sort of, laden. And no one stopped us, which is why we think that we can do whatever we want in this city. I mean, it just seems like. I mean, literally, like, later my friend came out, he wanted to take some off the top, one of his friends had never seen it, he wanted to throw it, and he tried to knock one off, and an undercover cop did come out and sort of flash his badge and said, hey, get away from that, it's supposed to be there. So, you know, don't be fooled, these guys curate, right? Like, cops are the top curators in graffiti, and, you know, they're like AV1, you know, Jesus saves, you guys have to go to jail. Swoon, your work's delightful, you get to go to the MoMA. Graffiti Research Lab, you guys are kind of pussies, you don't even like register on a radar. So, but yeah, so Borf is a writer, and he's a writer who writes in Washington, D.C. Some of you guys may have seen his work. He also works in North Carolina, and he works on the North East Coast, over in the West Coast as well. So we like his work, and he was actually put in jail for a month for his sort of graffiti acts. And, we just sort of advocate against the criminalization of graffiti. We certainly aren't for the legalization of it. We wouldn't be as interested in it if it was legal. But when you see people going to jail for a year for writing on a building, and oftentimes me and my wife talk about this, people urinate on my door. I live in Brooklyn, so they urinate on my door. And if they were to urinate on my door, they don't go to jail, right? If someone came up and wrote on my door, if someone shat on my door, would they go to jail? Like, maybe. But if they wrote with their own shit on my door, they would definitely go to jail. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Moving on. It was February of this year, so it hasn't been that long. Actually, the first slide is relevant to this comment.
So, related to his question, Bork and Shepherd Fairey and Bansky, they usually all have political messages, or maybe if it's not political, some type of message associated with their artwork. Do you see some type of message associated with what you're doing, and if so, what is it?
I'm going to take a lawyer's move on that. I'm going to disagree on one point, and then I'm going to show how we do that. you know, like when Banksy spray paints Banksy on the side of a cow, I'm not sure what his message is. When he rides Banksy on a golf course with like 10 cans of white paint so that it covers like an acre, you know, I don't think his message is anything but like, my name's Banksy, and I want everything that you guys want, which is to be somebody and to be recognized, to be appreciated for my work, you know, to be a celebrity, a star. So there's that, too. But when Banksy goes to the segregation wall and works, I do get a sense that he's trying to say something, you know, and I appreciate that. And when we advocate for graffiti artists, that's sort of our message in that, you know, we think graffiti's like socially important, powerful message. It's kind of like the blank slate we work from. So probably any disagreements on that point, we might just want to disagree to disagree on. because we'll probably never see your side of it, but yeah, we do think that, you know, oftentimes our stuff has a political message. Other times it just is political in that it's against the law and your right to your, you know, private property, which sometimes we want to, you know, assure you don't actually have. But yeah, one more question, then we'll move on.
So you didn't advocate with someone when they tried to hijack
you, did you? No, we actually kind of felt sort of opposite about that, ironically. It's weird how you can feel one way and then another. Just about people like marking on walls. Yeah, we thought that was kind of boring. okay, we'll move on. So yeah, people liked our work. Some people did. A lot of people didn't like our work as well. Some of the "we don't like you" comments were actually kind of more interesting to us. This sort of being one of them. Like, this was very cool, but this was on Make an Hour ago. Like, this is what sort of like the lifespan of these internet projects, where we're trying our best to release something new because it's been 2 weeks and people are going to think we're like, you know, in jail or like retired or something. Yeah. So I think this is also... Yeah, he's very funny. He's a funny guy. Zoom times two. I thought this one, I was with this guy. I was like with him, like, yeah, maybe it is just about the confidence too, but he doesn't quite see that that's a good thing. yeah, this is one we get a lot. It's probably fairly relevant in that, you know, what the materials that we do, you know, use do cost more money than, say, a can of spray paint that someone's, you know, stole. You can also steal LEDs too. Spray paint is very expensive these days. It's not quite that big a discrepancy, but yeah, no, we do. Yeah, I guess that's a good question.
What was the cost of covering the cube?
The cost of covering the cube? Well, it's
like the other project,
somewhere between 25 to 50 cents per LED throw, depending on how many we buy. So something like the cube, where there were 600, you know, you guys can do the math. It's certainly not as expensive as the shows that the art nonprofit we work for puts on. You know, it's
so
not as we are getting money. We're funded by a number of sort of very prestigious art grants to do this. MacArthur Foundation and whatnot.
Do people take a lot of your throws?
They do. I mean, the process for the first throwy video, I think, laid out what would happen for all the future ones, in that, you know, we go, we do this, you know, we're up there throwing these throwies on the building, you know, pretty lame, whatever. And then a group of people who are totally unassociated with us come up and they immediately get it. I like that young gentleman who ran up and, you know, did the like 2-foot vertical grab of those throwaways. Right before that, he had turned to me and said, "You guys are bombing this, yo." And then he went and did it. So he got it right away. So that's actually the more cool part. But so those guys don't actually, they're not like on our agenda. You know, they actually are more interested in kind of getting something for themselves. So they go out and they grab them, they throw them back a few times, and they're like, "I'm just going to take as many as I can." And that's cool too, because it's a bit like the subway system hacks that graffiti artists did in the 70s and 80s, and that they would use the subway to transport their, you know, giant paintings all over the city. So they would get the whole, you know, all five boroughs using just you know, one train car. So some of the comments were a little bit, we thought, mean or inappropriate. And it's true that you probably could get a homeless person to do something like that. We like to work with the homeless, not against them. And we've also had the joy to work with a lot of kids. You know, kids are great because they're all anarchists. None of them vote. So, and I thought this was a very sort of astute comment, and not only did they sort of predict, you know, this the youth of today, their involvement in the graffiti tomorrow, but they also predicted that they would eventually sell out and allow their work to just be sort of co-opted into the similitude of art. Okay, so you saw a lot of the stuff that we do, we're not particularly hardcore, we're pretty soft core guys, and people don't really take a lot of our stuff very hardcore. They actually tend to go in the opposite direction as hard as they can. So here's a site, Parent Hacks, where people have figured out that they can use throwaways to mark their, like, soccer mom caravan. And if we were really worried about looking like putzes, like, this would be really hurtful for us. But we're not. It's totally cool. I mean, it's really pretty cool that people can find other ways to use it. You know, not everything that other people have done has made us sort of happy. Sometimes we feel like Eric from Instructable said that, like, we have a lot of Vanilla Ice nemesis, who are out there trying to take our projects in a very sort of soft and fluffy direction. But then again, when they do it, they tend to innovate and they improve it. Fridge Lights, who refuses to attribute his electrograph to our sort of work that we did preceding him, because I got in an argument with him in a comment thread, has actually brought a lot of innovations to the electrograph. He uses AC power, he made a kind of different setup. The only thing that sucks is that now I have to ask, people ask me, like the guys from Solar Robotics, oh, that's awesome, you guys do these murals. It's cool that you guys have learned from Fridge Lights how to make them. So, but either way, we suck it up. Certainly, there's other people that are out there who are interested in our, you know, little games and fun for their own commercial game. And we actually buy LEDs from this company. They're really nice dudes. They're really, like, with it kind of guys. They actually suggested they would give the 2,600 staff 10,000 throwies if someone could get them root server error log access. I really don't know what they were asking. I forwarded it on to Emmanuel, but there's, like, some promise of a lot of throwies, I think, if you could do something really illegal for this Chinese company. This is close to home. These guys are just in New Jersey. We've done a sort of, you know, who is. This is the, you know, extent of our digital deduction skills. But we do know where this guy sort of presumably lives. If anyone can get us more information on this gentleman who has this site beyond his address, as it comes up in Who Is, we'll definitely give you some throwy packs. So, you know, we'll give LEDs for info. We've also got to work in terms of this kind of mod world with some really amazing people, and we got to meet Ward and Pat Cunningham at Maker Faire, and they made, just in the span of a few hours, a mod to throwaways that's kind of really next level. They just stuck a little AVR tiny chip in there, and now the throwy talks Morse code. Do we actually have some of those up here?
Keep going.
Yeah, we'll bring those up in a second, but maybe we'll actually have some sort of game that if someone can tell us what it's blinking Morse code-wise, you'll get throwy packs too. That's all we got to get is throwy packs. It's not a big lure. All in all, the sort of open knowledge aspect of this has paid positives much more than it has negatives. I mean, in the form of seeing other people who look to be much tougher and cooler than us do our project all over the world, and see their images come back, to see their innovations come back, and that they're taking this relatively mindless little technology project and actually starting to embed it with a little bit of interesting technological aspects. We've seen sort of some celebrity types on the internet world get involved in our stuff. These are kind of the faces that we all see every day. We're much more interested in kind of those other faces that you don't see every day, them getting involved in our projects. Here's some throwy faces. We've definitely got a lot of faces from this conference, too, that we're going to add to this. But these guys, we just, you know, we love them for playing with our stuff. They really, like, more than us, they kind of make this thing continue to happen. It's also started happening overseas. This is a gentleman in Amsterdam, I believe, and they play some sort of sport that they also refer to as football over there. And this is I think, is their football team that they're advertising for. Of course, the kids play with the toys. We like the kids, said before. People do psychedelic stuff. This is about the best picture we've ever seen with Roy's, and we certainly didn't take it. Apparently, it's, what's this park called? Gasworks Park?
Gasworks Park.
I think this is Gasworks. I'm not sure. Does it look about right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a big, ugly... Gasworks Park.
Yeah, hopefully this... Excellent, excellent. Yeah, this is in Seattle. This is the type of city logic, huh?
Slingshot deal? This looks pretty hot.
Yeah, no, I honestly, like I say, the mystery is we're all on the same page here. Somebody who goes by Green Eyes on their Flickr account has photos of this, a lot of them. Yeah, I mean, I think it looks really beautiful. I'm not sure that that's not kind of a negative thing happening in the sky there, but it's beautiful regardless. This is actually something people made at their wedding. So instead of having rice, these people like made throwies for their wedding. It's pretty unbelievable. So we watched a lot of people doing a lot of cool things with our projects and realized we hadn't actually done anything cool lately. So we decided we wanted to try to modify the throwie project to try to do what someone was talking about, give it the potential to speak a little bit more articulately and specifically to certain issues. So that's where the Knight Rider came from. I'll go ahead and show you what the Knight Rider looks like. By the way, I mean, if we neglect to mention this, we probably shouldn't. And most of the projects that we're doing here are actually done by other people than us. We develop the tools for them, and they come and work with us, and then they go and use these tools. So we take almost no risks, and these guys take all the risks. And despite the fact that this gentleman who goes by the name Resistor is, in fact, doing something that's pretty cute and fun, right? But, like, we've had friends who've gotten arrested at that very location and gone to jail for a year, you know, who live on Rikers Island now. So, like, they're really serious about catching people. They don't really want to catch Bin Laden. They really want to catch Jesus Saves. You know, they really want to catch these guys. So yeah, props goes out to all the writers we work with. Sometimes we go and try to do this ourselves. Sometimes it works out pretty well. Here's an example of that.
I'm going back to Cali. Uh-huh. 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 If
if I got to choose the coast, I got to choose the east. I live out there, so don't go there. But that don't mean a nigga can't rest in the west. See some nice breasts in the west. Smoke some nice sets in the west. Y'all niggas is a mess, thinking I'm gonna stop. Give it LA props. All I got is beef with those that violate me. I shall annihilate thee. Case closed, suitcase filled with clothes.
Man, we have tried so hard to get some beef going with Squid Labs. They totally don't care. Like, we go, we tag their bus, you know, we send incendiary emails. They're just like, oh, this is fun. It's tough. So most of the time we look pretty cool when we're doing this stuff. There's times when we don't. I'm naming no names, but I'd like to show you sort of the, you know, the behind-the-scenes image here. Sad, right? Oh, it's tough. Okay, so when we're not out having fun and goofing around, there is sort of a serious aspect of our work, which is that, you know, if you trick some little kids into thinking that they're doing some sort of anarcho actions, you can actually, it's kind of as a residual byproduct, teach them a little bit about electronics, about expressing themselves creatively. So we do a lot of what we think of as graffiti outreach programs, where we go all over the country, and this summer we're kind of going to go all over the world, and we're just going to teach people how to do simple electronics projects, starting with like throwaways as kind of the basic model, and then moving up to things like electrograph so people can kind of make their own expressive graffiti pieces. It's not just for kids, though. We get a lot of sort of... you know, people who got somewhere along the road trapped in being a normal person, sometimes you can kind of release a little bit of that with a little bit of illegal activity. So here's us out in California at the Maker's Fair. We tried our best to make this look as hippie-ish, as not hippie-ish as possible by painting it black.
Get onto the bus, that's gonna take you back to Beelzebub. Get onto the bus, that's gonna make you stop going rub-a-dub. Get onto the bus, that's gonna take you back to Beelzebub. Get onto the bus, that's gonna make you stop blowing rubber dub. Your words burn the air like the names of candy bars. Your mouth is cold and red, all the rings around your laughing laughs. And it's a grind, grind, it's a grind, it's a grind, grind, it's a grind, grind. Get onto the bus, that's gonna make you stop blowing a rubber dub. Get onto the bus, that's gonna take you back to Beelzebub. Get onto the bus, that's gonna make you stop blowing a rubber dub.
The story of that bus, by the way, it's legend and it's amazing. I'll leave it for like our, you know, the historians. It's an amazing story. We also did workshops there. So these are actually examples of work that people made who have no experience with graffiti, potentially no experience with electronics, who just kind of came up and participated in these workshops. And they did really clever, interesting projects. Here someone's made some Duplo blocks. Here someone's made a monster. That's kind of the obvious example, but it looks awesome. Here's somebody is giving a shout out for their favorite editor, I guess. I'm not sure. You know, on Flickr, the comment underneath this is, "Take that, Emacs," which is funny. So get a laugh at no other place in the world, I'm sure. Do you want to talk a little bit about Jesus? Damn, they're cutting me. Lewis out here. Okay, so Mark Jenkins, who we mentioned earlier, you got a... Is it saying GRL?
Wrong.
I think we've heard the judges in the back say that is incorrect.
It's not it either. Keep them coming, though.
Ouch.
I think these are just wild guesses.
Yeah, I feel like you guys are like... It's a, you know, context clues are a big part of it, but these were made by Ward. So this is like straight from the mind of Ward Cunningham. So like dig into that. I don't know. Yeah, I would be like a speck inside that.
Back to that ham radio test.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys, didn't someone get like this, like, I had to look up what these, like, number stations were on the blog post. If you can get that, this seems like it's just remedial. Okay, so here's a project that is like a prime example of what we want to do, which is work with graffiti artists who are already amazing and who don't need our help to do any kind of work. But who okay, cool. Okay, so this is work done by us and Mark Jenkins. Mark, you remember from the sort of feet and legs and bodies and homeless guy earlier. We're going to play this and one other video, and I think we're out. So let's go ahead and hit this. This is Jesus 2.0.
We at war. We at war with terrorism, racism, but most of all, we at war with ourselves. God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down. Know what the Midwest is, young and restless, or restless.
Niggas.
Might snatch your necklace, and next these might jack your Lexus. Somebody tell these who Kanye West is. I walk through the valley of the shadow where death is. Top floor, if you alone and leave you breathless. Try to catch.
I just make a lot of money on Snapchat.
Texas, yeah, and I check the method. They be asking us questions, harassing, arrest us, saying we eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast, huh? Y'all eat pieces of shit? What's the basis? We ain't going nowhere but got suits and cases. A trunk full of coke, rental car from Avis. My mama used to say only Jesus could save us. Well, mama, I know I act a fool, but I'll be gone till November. I got packs to move. I hope
Jesus.
God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down. The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now. And I don't think there's nothing I could do now to right my wrongs. I wanna talk to God, but I'm afraid because we ain't spoken so long. God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down. The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now. And I don't think there's nothing I can do now to right my wrongs. I wanna talk to God, but I'm afraid cause we ain't spoken so long. So long. To the hustlers, killers, murderers, drug dealers, even the scribblers.
Jesus was with them.
To the victims of welfare, feel we living in hell here.
Okay, so I'm going to introduce Evan Harper, who's one of our colleagues and collaborators at iBeam. If you believe it or not, both of us, or all four, three of us, we actually inhabit a space where we are kind of like in charge of some labs at iBeam. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I'll introduce Evan Harper.
I guess this is my death metal intro bio page. I've done a little different things in the past, kind of related to internet type artwork things. Basically, I made this browser called the Porn Only Browser. You might be like, I don't care what that is. My computer home browses porn all the time. It's nothing special, but. Basically, I had heard about these kids getting sued because they had cracked one of these cyber sitter net nanny databases of lists of web pages that weren't cool for school or libraries, and I just wanted to make a browser that would sort of, you know, use one of these databases without them knowing and kind of highlight things. In addition to other things I thought were stupid and needed to be made fun of, religion, and kind of certain things, I made this little thing that would let people run their favorite psalm through the BLAST database. And then, I don't know if you see where this is going, but I like modding games, too, and working with things that have the source laid out, so also things that have sort of a message and higher relevance. Game over. But this other thing that I liked working with is, you know, the idea of public domain and public space, and there's this thing in New York City, which I think is specific to New York City, which is the idea of, like, privately owned public spaces. If somebody wanted to make their building super tall and make tons of money with those extra floors that blocked out our sunlight and, you know, sky, back in the 70s, the city cut a deal with them to, you know, allow them to do that, but on the flip side, they had to supply these spaces out in front of their building, such as this one, but they got all these security guards that aren't really nice people, and they just kind of want to live in their liability and keep you moving through and not have a place to do things that, like, were part of the deal, like sit down, and so this is one of the ideas for we had worked out to try and alleviate that issue. It's better if you make them when you get there because they're a pain in the ass to carry. This isn't a publicly owned private space, but I thought, you know, it's a nice place to sit. We're getting like the serious wrap it up signal right now, but so the organization iBeam that we're all a part of as fellows here has the current call for fellows out, of which we are now, so the next year of fellows is out now. So if anybody thinks they might want to do this kind of like public domain open source work for a year and take a smaller salary than they might get normally but enough to pay the bills, the applications, we have like information about the applications here if anybody wants that, and on the iBeam.org website they have the information along with the application listed there. So with that, thank you all and have a good night.